Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're kicking off today's daily editorials with an update from Libero Copper and Gold, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LBC and on the OTCQB under the symbol LBCMF. I am chatting again with the CEO Ian Harris, and we are going to be focusing again on the Makoa property in Colombia. We had Ian on just last week to discuss the extension of this initial drill hole at Makoa past 1,000 meters to a little bit over 1,200 meters. And now we have the initial results from the first about 450 meters of that drill hole. And the numbers, well, the market reacted very positively to these numbers. Almost this whole hole was mineralized. We have 443 meters of 0.74% copper equivalent. There's some higher grade components of 251 meters of 1.13% copper equivalent. This is overall a good hole here, Ian. So we'll get into a little bit more of the details within some of these assay results, but just start us off. Any surprises for you when it came to the initial results from this first hole?
First of all, thanks for having me, and sorry for them if there's any background. I'm sitting in the airport in Mendoza after visiting Esperanza and having some important meetings. To be frank, the grades were even better than we anticipated, right? Again, we have an existing resource. It's a great existing resource. We knew we had a high, you know, idea of the type of grades that could be produced. But we're seeing some interesting results in terms of, somewhat higher grades than even anticipated. And so that's actually pretty exciting. And, you know, one of the reasons why, you know, we got the results out and we said, we have to put this out, right? It was too much to sit on. It was too significant just to wait around until we got the full hole. Which, by the way, the entire hole is in lab, and we were, you know, hoping to get a very quick turnaround, which is what we've seen to date. But they were so significant in terms of our current valuation. And if you look at these similar types of results in some other companies, I mean, if this was last year, it's already starting to look like one of the best holes in the world. And I think you can look back at some of the histories of some other companies that had very similar results, and that was their big, you know, that was their big spotlight. So overall, right, it's not the same as, you know, a green fields discovery. In many ways, it feels that way based on our current valuation. Our objectives we're not getting the attention. We need to make sure the world knows the quality of the project that Makoa is. You know, we obviously went in with an intent that we want to do something really big and demonstrate the potential of this project. So we're obviously very excited with the initial results. Look forward to getting out all the results, because I think we're really checking the boxes of the objectives that we had.
So Ian, looking at the cross section that is posted within that news release, we can see where some of the historic holes were drilled. We can also see the pit shell outline from the historic resource. This hole does go through that historic resource. So I do have to ask you, was this simply a twinning of another hole, or was this something else that you guys were trying to garner more information from?
Yeah, keep in mind that is a cross-section that has, you know, I think it's 45 or 50 meter search distance, right? So for most of the hole, it's more like an infill hole, because there's quite a significant distance between that hole and the other holes. And it's definitely not a twin. We're not going down the same pathway of an old hole. So it's definitely infill. And it's an infill that's actually on the borders and outside portions of the existing resource. So it will actually provide significant expansion. We've always talked about the blank zone that was the kind of the center of this hole that was going through this. That also is a, you know, we expect to add significant resource. And then it's also, you know, goes much deeper than any other hole in. So in many ways, it was a hole that was trying to accomplish multiple tasks. We wanted to make sure, you know, on our first hole, that we had a high level of confidence. We wanted to make sure that we are doing both expansion and infill and creating a lot of knowledge on the overall deposit. So I think that we really hit all the boxes on this one, and really, really happy with the results we're seeing.
Now let's talk about the consistency of this result, because for 450 meter hole, as I said, 443 meters came in grading 0.74% copper equivalent. Does that just speak to the overall asset here that there is this consistency across long widths?
Absolutely. And one of the things, as you know, I'm a mining engineer. We put together a resource when Libero first acquired the asset, and it was mostly to qualify, right? And make sure that we did a proper 43-101, we did an MRE, but it was probably a little early, right? So there's spaces within the exact same resource that don't carry grade, not because they don't have grade, but they don't have any drill holes near to them. So it was really important for me to kind of start breaking that misconception that, no, what this deposit actually has, it has significant grade, it carries grade over, you know, longer intervals. We're also starting to see that it's very independent of lithology, that the grade is just, there's so many pulses, so many types of alteration and mineralizing events that the grade has just been carried over everything. And we're creating a really solid, you know, we're working on a very solid, have a great amount of information now to start using that data to continue to vector in to the higher grade portions of the deposit. Even the cross section talks about the copper and the moly mineralization, but that's really a high grade because it's even mineralized outside of those zones. So seeing these long intercepts, and then the other reason that we said we need to do a really deep hole, not only to understand and provide the geological information that you need on these type of deposits, but also it's a clear indication of the size and scale potential of this deposit, right? You know, that's kind of a qualifier in the market, is that percent meters, right, of mineralization that tells you how much copper has been pumped into it. You know, it's quite obvious to us the deposit and resource exists where historical drilling was done, but it's only a piece of a larger deposit. We see clear pathways to get us over a billion tons. We're seeing anomalies near to or right outside of the existing deposit area. And I'll be honest, there's so much work that we have to do on this deposit. It's got so much potential on the existing deposit area. And we're also seeing some additional opportunities of some additional porphyry center potential targets.
Now, any comment on the depth at which mineralization started to be hit? It looks like 7 meters down, you guys started to hit this copper mineralization. You can see in this cross section, there is also this leached cap that is outlined. So talk to us about the depth component and how close to surface this is.
So it's a two thing. Now, historically, this entire deposit was drilled across a crest line on a mountain. So you had one vertical hole and two side holes. So it really doesn't provide very much information on the litho cap, right? Because you're obviously on the top of a ridge, and not always the truth, but you know, that's normally the thickest portion of the litho cap, right? So that's one component. We've had multiple discussions that the future planning, we have to start identifying the geology of the litho cap, get away from the crest line, et cetera. But the second part, which was really interesting, is that the majority of the moly is contained within the litho cap, where there's obviously less copper, but the moly is contained. And on a copper equivalent grade, right, would most likely be above an internal cutoff. What does that mean? It means that if it's a part of your pit, it's going to go to your plant. So that's also, as you know, the mining engineer me gets really excited about seeing numbers like that, because that can have significant impacts on any potential future mine. That starting from 7 meters, you have a potential section that could feed a mill.
Okay, so then Ian, we're going to cover obviously the remaining, well, around 800 meters from that drill hole when it is released. But obviously, this project needs a little bit more work, and this initial partial drill result gives you more confidence to go back in here. What sort of a drill program would you want to undertake here at Makoa this year or even over the next couple of years?
Yeah, you know, it's an internal debate that we go over and over again, right? The truth is drilling will be driven with our capacity to drill. our goal has always been we want to maximize the impact locally. So we want to be adding drills when we have the capacity in terms of having the training programs involved, having the people available, and start looking at, you know, this is a project that could be drilling for 5 years and doing hundreds of thousands of meters. So we want to make sure that the capacity locally is available. And then also the addition that, you know, our camp, I mean, it's so much new infrastructure in terms of camp and core storage, et cetera. So we will be adding drills, one drill after the other, after the other, after the other. So it's not, you know what, I need to do 20,000 meters in this campaign and then we'll look at it. It's going to be continuously drilling on this project now that we've started, right? That's the goal. We want to be starting and we'll be adding one drill and then the next drill and the next drill. So we still have an internal budget, I think, of about 12,500, but it's basically at what point the year ends and what the total meter count was. It's not that drills are going to be demobilized. It's going to be continuously drilling on this project. You know, the size will determine how many drill holes get put into it. The existing resource as a minimum needs at least 100,000 meters just to potentially upgrade it. But obviously there's plenty of room to grow. So it's the easiest answer is we will keep drilling and keep adding drills on this project.
So Ian, let's make one comparison here to another well-known copper exploration company. That is Solaris and their Warintza project in Ecuador. That company has gotten a lot of attention. They've been drilling some long width mineralization copper grades that are fairly similar to what you saw here, even a little bit lower than what you saw in that initial 450 meters. How are you viewing what Solaris is doing and what the Warintza project is turning out to be compared to what's possible at Makoa?
First of all, I think it's important to explain we're in the exact same Jurassic porphyry belt, right? Just in Colombia. Geology doesn't stop at borders. We have very similar type of, so age host rocks, same similar types of metals in terms of copper and moly, the overall footprint, et cetera, are very similar. And then the big one for me is even our resource, our existing resource that we have, right? One of the big differences between our drill hole result and their mineral resource is they use $3.50 copper and $15 moly, right? If you use their metals prices to calculate copper equivalent and use a similar cutoff, because we obviously did various cutoffs in our own resource, you know, if you use a 0.3, right, the grades are almost identical, which is what they put out. And they talked about, I think, a 0.6 in terms of a potential or a conceptual starter pit. And the grades, again, are almost identical. The difference is they have a total between inferred and indicated 1.5 billion tons. And I think at the same cutoff, ours is about 500 and some million. But you're basically saying our starting point is already a third of Warintza. And we definitely have a pathway to get to that billion plus ton resource size. So to me, it's incredible news, right? I love seeing the results from Warintza because I see so many similarities. Just, and again, when I'm talking about a billion ton pathway, that's just on the expansion of the existing resource. And we are also seeing evidence of this cluster type opportunity where there's some evidence of other porphyry centers within the current operating title, so very close to the existing deposit. So I see, you know, they put a pathway, and we look forward to following on the similar pathway. I also like to, you know, it's also a project that's close to home because previously I was at the Mirador project, which ended up being the first large-scale mining operation in the history of Ecuador. And I know that in that project, we created the pathway for Warintza. And so I feel like it's doing a very similar story here in Colombia. I think the big difference is that Warintza is worth over $1.5 billion market cap, right? And we're trading, well, today we're doing obviously much better in the $50 to $60 million range, but we have a massive amount to grow over that time period. And we're already a mini Warintza already.
Big difference in terms of market cap there, but again, they are just a little bit further ahead already with this resource that just came out. Now, what sort of a discount do you think this project gets because it is in Colombia compared to Ecuador? Not that Ecuador has been really fast-tracking any projects, but how do you think the market views the two differently?
Yeah, you know, it's tough to say, right? Because I think Makoa's valuation isn't necessarily because of a discount applied to Colombia. I think it's more because most people just don't know the project. And so that's why we're so excited about these drill results, because I think we're getting a massive amount of eyeballs. Another reason why we wanted to do make sure to get these first results out is they start getting some attention on the project. So when we put out the full hole, we're getting eyes onto the project. And something, you know, I think about, you know, is Ecuador has the tension, and it was recently ranked number one in South America by the latest Fraser report. Colombia is just one notch right below Ecuador in terms of investment potential. So I think from a, you know, if you're basing it off the Fraser report, they're pretty much identical in terms of their ranking. But again, you know, I like to think too that I like taking destiny into my own hands, right? The work and the lessons learned in Ecuador are going to be the same lessons and experiences that's going to be applied here in Colombia. And so you have to have a somewhat of a long-term vision on these types of projects. And I know that we're working, not just myself, but a team that has experience in getting very large-scale projects into production. So I think in those terms, you know, it's hard to say what the discounted market is playing today, but I know over the long run, this project will get the attention it deserves.
Okay. Well, Ian, I'm going to keep bringing you back on, especially after the remaining assays from this hole are released, because, well, so far so good. Starting off early with this 450-meter intercept. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Ian regarding this drill result or any of the other work that's going to be done here at the Makoa Project, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. In full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Libero Copper and Gold, so I'll be following up for personal reasons as well. Ian, thank you again for your time, and please keep us up to date on future news.
Thanks, Corey. Always a pleasure.